We'll begin with a prayer. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given to us. We pray that you would open all of our hearts and make them receptive to it, and that in grace and love and mercy you would cause the Word to become engrafted to save our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin, like we normally do, by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. The service this morning is coming from the Village Hall here once again in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 12 this morning. We're going to read verses 12 and 13 to get a little more context. In the King James Bible, it reads this way, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Two words. Surprise, surprise. Because I don't think this is what any of us would have expected. Many months ago now, we started studying the book of Hebrews with chapter 1, verse 1, and we've been going through verse by verse, taking things as the Holy Spirit has given us. We've noticed in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 that three times the Holy Spirit has quoted from Psalm 95. The words, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And then in chapter 4, verse 11, which is right before our text, he said this, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." So he's talking about the urgency of what we're doing and the immediacy of it. And I would have expected now that he would follow with telling me some things that I should do in my life, how I should live to the honor and glory of God. He does not. Instead, he gives us a detailed description of the Word of God and the effects that it has upon the hearts of his elect. A surprise. Now, this is not to say that the works which we do, the fruit that shows itself in our life, is unimportant. It's not to say that at all. But it is to say this, that it's not something we should dwell on. And the works that we do most likely are not nearly as polished and as precious as we tend sometimes to think that they are. A couple examples here. Exhibit A would be the Pharisee in Luke 18. Beginning at verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And a publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Son of God said this, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." There's a danger here that the Holy Spirit is pointing out for each one of us. An emphasis on what we do and how we live can tend toward exalting ourselves and thinking we're so very, very good in comparison with others. If we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and delve deeply into the Word of God, we're going to have the humility of the publican. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And instead of dwelling so much upon what I can do to the honor and glory of God, I'll dwell on what Christ has done for me. Not that the other's unimportant, it isn't. But the key is to be in the Word. Exhibit 2. The hypocrites at the judgment day, Matthew 7, beginning at 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Another place, somebody asked him, what should we do that we might do the works of God? And his answer was, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's in another place. But here, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. These are good works. We would call them good works. And these people are saying this to the Lord, and he's sending them down to the pit. He's saying, no, wait a minute, you know, check the records. You're going to find out this is what we did. We prophesied in your name. We preached and taught. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. Check the records. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the truth that the Holy Spirit is giving us right here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 is this, that Christianity consists not so much in how we live, not that that's not important, but that's not the key thing. The key thing is the place that the Word of God has in your heart and in mine. That's the key. And the whole context of it here, following as it does those warnings. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Labor to enter in. Labor. It starts with the meditating on the Word of God, and it's every day. And it's a sacrifice of time. There's nothing more important. Another put it this way. The Word of God, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, is the effect which God's Word produces under the application of the Holy Spirit when a sinner is regenerated. Now, one thing for certain, when you study Scripture in the right way, it's going to teach you a lot about yourself and about your heart. And you're not going to feel very good about it. But it'll drive you closer to your Savior. Verse 12 is what we're going to concentrate on. You know, there is so much here. We could study for months on this. So this morning, we're just going to scratch the surface. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you divide it a certain way, at least there are seven things that are told us here about Holy Scripture. We're going to be looking at them very, very briefly. The first one is that it is the Word of God. And this is what makes the book different from any other book in the world. And it's why it's worthy of having you and I spend time with it every single day. I don't know of another book that is, but this one is. Starts out John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 we find out, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word is Jesus Christ. It's also Holy Scripture, the written word. There's no difference. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us this. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's no other book that can make this statement. This is unique. All Scripture, every bit of it, is given by inspiration of God. That means every single word of it, not just the thoughts. The words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. A miracle, I can't understand it. But when these people wrote, what they did, it was the Holy Spirit giving them the very words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, and the Bible does a lot of that, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, the Bible gives us everything we need. We don't have to go anywhere else. It's all here. It is quick. The Word of God is quick. That means living. This word, quick, is used more than 140 times in the New Testament. It'd be worthwhile to study that in detail, wouldn't it? You'd learn a lot. The truth is that Jesus Christ is a living God. The Word is a living Word. It's not a dead book. Some of it was written thousands of years ago, but it still applies today. It's a living thing. It's a living book. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's that clear cut. There's one way, and that's it. No other. It is powerful. You look at Jesus Christ, all the miracles that he did, and the things that happened. And one example, remember when the soldiers came out in Gethsemane to take him captive. And he was waiting for them, and he went out to meet them. And he instigated the conversation. Whom seek ye? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth, heavily armed. He said, I am he. I am the powerful I am. And they fell down helpless. At his word, very word, fell down helpless. So powerful. And the Scriptures are powerful. There's so many examples of this. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting with swords and spears and nuclear warheads, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The devil's kingdom falls with the word. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We've mentioned this before. Cicero's definition of the cross, the Roman orator. The cross is such a shameful thing that not only should it be kept from a Roman citizen's body, but also from his eyes and from his mind. Well, that's not the way the Holy Spirit looks at it. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and that's the cross, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts. It cuts. Spoken or written. Isaiah 49, verse 2. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. This is Jesus Christ talking. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And in that visual, the vision in Revelation 1:16, he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. When the Son of God preached and taught, the sparks started to fly, and very often there was strong contention. The word cuts, it's a two-edged sword. You bet it does. We can either deny it and be angry, or we can take it to heart. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? The Pharisees, the VIPs in the organized church of the day, the ones that look so holy, 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 God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. And they heard the preaching of Christ and they were offended. Well, if they thought that the Son of God was going to change his preaching just because they didn't like it, they had another thing coming. But the disciples seemed concerned about this. Lord, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said to them, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And then there's the eight woes in Matthew chapter 23. Eight times. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. He tells it like it is. It cuts. And it'll cut you and me too. It is penetrating. It pierces. It's interesting. Psalm 22, verse 16, words of the Savior again. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. A reference to the cross, the crucifixion. John 19:34-37, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith there came out blood and water. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. But Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that they're going to look on him whom they have pierced one more time, too. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. The word of God, number 6, it divides asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Oh, there's so much here. So much, but just a little summary. The soul and spirit are the invisible things. The joints and marrow are the visible. They're covered and they're hid, but they're visible. So sharp and so quick-sighted, so penetrating is the divine word that it makes differences and distinctions where sometimes you and I cannot. Only the Word of God can do this. And it exposes the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is the difference, isn't it? Doctors tell us that in the human being, the mouth is located about 8 inches from the heart. That's not very far away. But these are the 8 inches we've got to have, because these are the 8 inches that God looks at. The words don't mean anything if the heart is not right. And the Son of God searches the heart, so does the written word. Now, what does this mean for you and for me today? I think something like this. If we're studying Scripture every day, and we're doing it in the right way, it's going to expose to us what is in our heart. And sometimes we are not going to feel very good about it. But at the same time, Jesus Christ is going to become all the more precious to us. It's like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. And he will mean to us exactly the opposite of what we look at when we see ourselves. And if we feel we're like the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Look at all the nice things I do. Christ is not really going to mean that much to us. But if our heart is pierced by the two-edged sword, like the heart of the publican was, instead of bragging to God about all the nice things we do for him, we're going to concentrate on what he has done for me. God be merciful, the sinner. The one is man-centered. It's humanistic. The other is God-centered. It's that simple. One is called the theology of glory. We'll get there in the afterlife, but we're not there yet. The other, the theology of the cross. I'll close with just a few passages that you can ponder during the week. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The Holy Spirit talking. The heart, and remember, God looks at the heart. That's what counts. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord search, I the Lord search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The Son of God talking about the heart in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Not a pretty picture. This is your heart and mind by nature. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Labor to enter in, as Hebrews would say, for out of it are the issues of life. And then from Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you give each one of us here at Water of Life hearts that have a hunger and a craving and a thirst and a love for your word, and that you will guide us to meditate upon your word by day and by night, and to study it and to meditate upon it, that you will reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us, and that you will show us the condition of our own heart, and that you will increase our love toward our Savior and bring us closer and closer to him, that our emphasis may be on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Pray this in his name. Amen.